I cannot begin by singing this song to you. You'll find out as we go along. We're thinking every day about what song shall I sing this day? What song would God want me to sing? Because we all carry a song with us. And we're looking at songs that are associated with the season of Advent, with Christmas. And the one that we're going to look at today is probably the most famous and most widely recognized piece of sacred music, classical music, in all the world. Sometimes in our day, people, often cranky old people, will complain about music, worship music, for example, that it's too repetitive. They will talk about 7-11 choruses where you just have seven words and you repeat them 11 times. This particular piece of music has one word that is repeated 48 times. And that particular word is hallelujah. And that particular piece of music is called the Hallelujah Chorus, written by George Frederick Handel. It's part of a great oratorio. That's what I want to talk to you about today. And I want to invite you this day to make your word hallelujah. We want to talk about how that's rooted in Jesus and what a powerful thing that is. It is the word that will not go away. Hallelujah itself was a Hebrew word, but it makes it into the New Testament four different times. It's one of the very few Hebrew words that gets in there without being translated. There's a Yale scholar of church music who says there's just something about the sound of that particular word that evokes emotion in us that makes it keep going on and on and on. There is actually an adjective in the Oxford English Dictionary. I just thought I'd show you this. I love this. I got this 40-some years ago, two-volume copy of the Oxford English Dictionary. And one of the words that's in it is hallelujatic. Hallelujatic. So part of the invitation today is for you to live a hallelujatic kind of life, having to do with or pertaining to hallelujah. Here's how this particular piece of music came about. George Frederick Handel was a composer born in 1685. He was gifted musically, but actually flunked out of college, so floundered for a bit, went to Italy, and began to compose what were called oratorios. They're kind of like operas, but without the sets and costumes and so, and they were quite popular. So he was known as King of the Oratorios. His career was going really well, but his body and his life began to fall apart. And he began to lose his vision. He had crippling rheumatoid arthritis. He had a series of strokes. He spent pretty much all the money that he had on his troublesome health. And so he was quite afraid he was going to end up in debtor's prison. And then he got a letter, and it was from the Duke of Devonshire in Dublin, asking him if he would come and write a piece of music that could be used for philanthropic purposes to raise money, interestingly, for prisoners who were in jail and for orphans and for sick in a hospital. Ultimately, it was used to raise funds for orphans in a foundling hospital. That was kind of Handel's favorite place to give to himself. And for some reason, it kind of inspired him. It's very interesting. Jesus talks about how whatever you do for when you visit those who are in prison, or clothe people who don't have any clothes, or provide food for the hungry, I'm there. The incarnation, God with us through the person of Jesus, including people that are marginalized in our societies, that work over and over and over again, and it was in the life of Handel. He got a second letter, so that was from the Duke. He got a second letter from a man that he knew who was just kind of an eccentric character. He's the kind of guy that was always trying to improve everything. You have anybody like that in your life? Trying to make your ideas better. He actually tried to improve Shakespeare. But he was saying to Handel, I got an idea. I think you should do this. Kind of like my wife is always telling me, I think you ought to write a book about this. And it turns out the guy had a really good idea. And that was to take the great passages about the Messiah in the scriptures and to turn them into an oratorio. And so Handel did. And he wrote this whole piece, I think it's 260-page oratorio, in 24 days. He was gripped by the beauty of this vision. In fact, he actually said towards the end of it, after he wrote the Hallelujah chorus 48 times, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, it's the word that won't go away. It makes it into the New Testament. It's the word that will not go away. Is your day going to be hallelujatic? Handel said, when he wrote the Hallelujah chorus, I did think I saw the heavens open and saw the very face of God. And folks who look at the manuscript say towards the end of the Hallelujah chorus, the notes get bigger and spaced farther apart, like he's writing in such a fury he just can't get it down fast enough. And so he writes in one section about the Advent, about Christmas, for unto us a child is born. You might have heard that part. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Isn't that a good idea? And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Could you use a little wise counsel today? Everlasting Father, could you use a good father today? The Mighty God, could you use a little strength today? The Prince of Peace, could you use a little peace today? We have it. Jesus is now here. God is present with us. We don't have to earn it. I don't have to get any better. And so Handel pours all of this out, and then he gets to what's the end of part two of this oratorio, which is the Hallelujah chorus. And he writes that one single word, Hallelujah. It's just this burst of praise. It's got very deep meaning. When I was at Fuller Seminary, David Hubbard, who was the president then, told me about an encounter with a Methodist theologian, Tom Oden, whose theology had just gotten quite fuzzy and quite detached from the person of Jesus. And Hubbard was challenging him on this and said, you know, remember, we do not sing hallelujah, we sing hallelujah. Hallel was a general ancient Near Eastern Semitic term for praise. Yah was that part that directs it to the name that we know, to Yahweh. We sing hallelujah. And Tom Oden, Hubbard told me, was so upset, he actually went in the bathroom and threw up after that conversation because it disturbed him so much to think he'd been on the wrong path. And what happened in his life, his scholarship over the last several decades, was just remarkable, as his faith in Jesus in particular, not just Hallel, Hallelujah, but Hallelujah, got really sharp. It's the word that will not go away. So the invitation today is to make your life hallelujatic, a great, exuberant expression of worship, praise, adoration to our great God who has come down to earth. And you don't have to get it perfect. I sang in a choir when I was in high school. We had a real strict, very gifted choir director, Lindy Lundstrom. And when we do the Hallelujah chorus, he was like, you got to be really careful in this. As you may know, the end of the Hallelujah chorus is very dramatic. There's five, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. And then there has to be a big, very dramatic silence before that last final triumphant. Then my friend Chuck kind of didn't keep track. He kind of wasn't counting. He was really caught up in the passion and the beauty of that moment. And it was a bit like, if you've ever seen the movie Dirty Harry, when Clint Eastwood is talking to the bad guy, and he says, I know the question you're asking yourself. You're wondering, did he shoot five times or six? Well, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure myself. But the question you got to ask yourself is, do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? Chuck was feeling lucky. So, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And then just from this one little voice, hallelujah. And our choir director was not pleased, but I think that might be the most memorable hallelujah of all that I have ever heard. And I think Jesus might have liked it a lot. Because it doesn't have to be perfect. Not horror. Jesus didn't come. Christmas doesn't have to be perfect. Jesus did not come because of our perfections, but because of our imperfections. This word hallelujah is so exuberant. One scholar who writes about it says, it was so joyous that for a long time in the church, during Lent, it was thought to be too celebratory. And so it was put away for those 40 days to be resurrected at Easter time. Choir boys in the Renaissance used to have a tiny little coffin, and they would put hallelujah in the coffin and then bring it back out on Easter. It's a word that won't go away. Leonard Cohen has written another song in the last 40 years, Hallelujah. And he also writes about characters from Scripture, but about David and Bathsheba, about Samson and Delilah, about how we mess up, and there's this transcendent mercy and grace and goodness that comes in spite of that. Towards the end of it, he says, and even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but Hallelujah. So, that's the invitation today. Let loose with the 49th Hallelujah. Make the day hallelujahic, because Jesus is here, because God has come, and I don't have to be perfect. So as you walk through this day, in your heart, silently, maybe sometimes if you dare, out loud, maybe you want to get the 150th Psalm, praise the Lord, let everything that has life and breath, do it right now. If you are by yourself right now, or if you're walking around where people just will think that you're talking to somebody on the cell phone or something, just hallelujah. Praise to the Lord who has made himself known in the person of Jesus. Praise for every good thing, for what I see when I look at this world, for the sky and the sun, for the people that love me, for the opportunity to read, for the chance to do good, for the work that I'm able to do, for my body, for these glasses that enable me to see, for these books that enable me to learn, for every good gift that comes from God, but especially for the best gift, for his own Son who came to earth to be with us broken, imperfect people. Hallelujah! That's the word.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Become New. My name's Tim, and I'm a part of the team. I'm also a pastor, and I just want to say thanks for joining us. We hope that these teachings through this Advent season help you set your heart and your mind on Jesus, help you to encounter the Holy Spirit, and help you to really put a new song in your mouth in a world that can be so dark, chaotic, and depressing. It's great to put a song of hope in our mouths each and every day, and we hope that that's what this does. I'd love to invite you to participate during this series, to put in the comments each day what's a line you love from the song John talked about that day. Or if we don't cover the song that you love, it's a Christmas song, put it in the comments so that we can all share it, enjoy it, look it up, listen to it. If you want the lyrics from every song that we are going to talk about each day in this series, you'll want to subscribe to the email. You can do that at becomenew.com/subscribe, but I'm going to include the lyrics from each song that we talk about so that you can review those if you want to. You can also sign up to receive text reminders whenever we drop a new video. That's all at our website, becomenew.com. We're so grateful that you're joining us on this journey. And we hope that it encourages you in your walk with Jesus. See you next time.